Oh, the 70s. Here's actor Bruce Dern's mad revenge against the Super Bowl with some explosives and a blimp.
All those guys, too. Yeah, I see them every Sunday. I see them from up there, watching the big game, cheering the big game, because they cheer all the good things. And they love the big event because it makes them feel big, and I was going to give it to them big.
Today, attacking the Super Bowl would require no unbalanced, suicidal Vietnam-era vet, no blimp packed with explosives and piloted by terrorists. All you might need is a drone aircraft and not much more than an extra remote control next to your big-screen television. Drones have gone consumer, you might say. Hezbollah in Lebanon and Hamas in the Gaza Strip are among the non-state groups possessing armed drones. And on Monday, both Pakistan and the United Kingdom announced they had killed suspected terrorists in Syria and on Pakistan's border with Afghanistan with armed drones. Nuclear proliferation was the specter of the 20th century, and while that is certainly a concern, the proliferation of drone technology may be less controllable and come with more unpredictable consequences than nukes. Daniel Rothenberg joins us now. He's a professor of politics at Arizona State University and a fellow at New America, a Washington-based think tank. Professor Rothenberg, is this drone technology basically off-the-shelf stuff?
It depends. I mean, some of the players use off-the-shelf drones, but when we read about the major drone attacks, they're fairly sophisticated hardware.
And in terms of proliferation, if we were to compare it with nukes, and I know it's kind of an apples and oranges thing, these things are easier to take apart, to reassemble, and to transport.
Right. I mean, it's useful to distinguish between different kinds of drones. It's a general word that we use to cover everything from the really sophisticated drones used by the U.S. military that involve whole teams of different operators and have very fancy intelligence, surveillance and reconnaissance mechanisms. And then you also have the drones that you see on YouTube that you can go to a store and buy.
Who is the, shall we say, OPEC of drone technology, the big seller?
Well, there's commercial drones that you can go online and purchase quite easily. The real complex and sophisticated drones are still not they're not so easy for an ordinary person to simply buy and set up and utilize. But, you know, I think we should take away some lessons. Think of, for example, the incredible impact of IEDs in the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan. In a certain sense, they're quite different than drones, say, but they're relatively simpler forms of technology that were used very effectively to offset incredibly sophisticated military capabilities of the United States. They were the most deadly form of attack.
There are threshold events that may have already happened or may yet happen in this century. And I'm wondering if it's possible to gauge if there has been a drone versus drone combat event yet between two state or two even non-state actors. And has a criminal law enforcement organization prevented a drone attack by a organized crime possessor of a drone at this point?
So I'm not familiar with a drone-on-drone aerial battle. I have no doubt that will happen in the future. Nor am I know of any specific case where, say, the FBI or some other law enforcement entity has stopped a significant terrorist drone attack, say, in the United States. But the one thing that we do know is that there's a wide proliferation of drones of all different types, those that can be managed without a whole lot of sophisticated training and a lot of complex, expensive equipment. So it's inevitable that there will be an increased use of drones of various kinds, and that some of this use is going to be by violent groups. This is obviously going to increase.
And I gather you saw this video, a widely seen video of someone who fashioned a handgun to a drone that was very much a off-the-shelf piece of technology. Did you see that video?
I have. There's a couple of these videos that are quite easy to see. They're enormously frightening. We know whenever there's new technologies that are relatively, that aren't that costly to get into, they get used in all kinds of different ways. And it's quite difficult actually to stop the proliferation of this relatively, you know, off-the-shelf type of drone technology.
Reality check before we go. What do you fear most from drones? An attack by terrorists, surveillance by your own government, or some prank from your neighbor?
I think it depends on the, I mean, you know, domestically, surely any sort of terrorist attack has reverberations that are far greater than the substantive threat of that attack. So any kind of terrorist attack using, you know, whether it's an ordinary handgun or some easily created explosive, serves to destabilize society in profound ways. Think of the Boston Marathon bombing, a very, you know, not a very sophisticated bit of technology, but it you know, created enormous social harm and fear. So I think in general, the way terrorism operates is not so much based on some sort of very advanced technology, but rather the ways in which acts of violence can profoundly affect, you know, a society that takes for granted, that expects levels of peace and basic security.
Daniel Rothenberg is a professor at Arizona State University and a fellow at New America, a think tank. He spoke with us from Washington, D.C. Thank you so much, Professor.
Thank you.